Let me read the bottom line here. President Trump directed the most complex and secretive military operation in history. And it was a resounding success, resulting in a ceasefire agreement and the end of the 12-day war.
Was it D-Day? Okay. Usually at this time, we talk to our guy, Major Garrett.
That's right.
Every 10:30 on Thursdays, but for some reason, he's off work.
I think he big-timed us.
Unacceptable.
Unacceptable,
but,
Major.
But this is great. We get to talk to St. Louisan and White House correspondent for The Bulwark, Andrew Egger, who is with us on KMOX. You just heard from Defense Secretary Hegseth. Andrew, it's good to talk to you. How are you?
Hey, guys. Doing well. Big shoes to fill with Major, but I'll do my best.
Well, and I don't think you know this yet, but I think we've officially put your name in. For when Major can't make it, which occasionally happens, mm-hmm. I think it's Andrew. So surprise!
also, the understudy. Yeah, sounds good.
We should let you know there's no money in it for you.
I hear that a lot. Most of these things, you know, yeah.
That's our slogan.
Yeah,
the Christy and Amy show.
There's no money in it.
That's right.
All right. So, what did you make of that comment? It hit me. In particular, because I thought, what, have we not had other really great secret military operations like, was it Normandy one? What did you make of that?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you almost, your eyes start to glaze over anytime any sort of Trump underling or cabinet secretary or booster or spokesman or anything, anytime they start talking about the most X in history or the greatest Y in history, I mean, it's almost like a card they have to punch, right? Because that's what Trump likes to hear, and that's what they say. At the same time, I mean, I don't think we should undersell at all the kind of complexity of the mission and the success of the mission to at least a great extent, right? I mean, the secretary is completely within his rights to talk about the fact that this thing was planned secretly, went off without a hitch. The misdirections that they put in place seem to have worked, and I mean, they hit their targets. They all came home, and Iran doesn't seem to have been expecting it. So I think that you know, while we can kind of roll our eyes and laugh at sort of some of the Trumpian language that's in play here, that obviously Pete Hegseth speaks very fluently, he's absolutely right about the underlying facts of the sort of professionalism and discipline, yeah. And strong planning of the military strike.
Yeah, Andrew, to that point, you know, Hegseth, he is the Secretary of Defense. I will say sometimes when he speaks, it feels more like he is a Fox News host, right? Which, of course, is what he was. So it would be natural for him to fall into that mode. Not my favorite for the Secretary of Defense. And that's a shame because, as you mentioned, it was an incredibly complex and successful mission. We spoke with former Commanding General Mark Hertling earlier on in the week, and I asked him my dumb civilian question, which was, so was it kind of like Top Gun Maverick? And he said it was, but harder. And in that sense, there's a huge sense of patriotism and pride in our military and what they were able to accomplish.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a real split screen here for Hegseth in particular, because like you say, you know, he came in without any kind of managerial experience at this level. He'd run small, you know, nonprofits, and he had made his bones on Fox News. There were a lot of questions about his ability to manage an organization like this. And again, to be fair, like there's been a lot of hiccups and stumbles. And I mean, the political leadership of DOD over there, there's been all kinds of news about kind of his paranoia about leaks and his firing aides left and right. So there's been a lot of turmoil on the political side. But I think that you have to acknowledge that this, you know, this is at least a very strong data point in the opposite direction, that when it really counts, you know, when it's rubber hitting road in terms of a military operation, they're not accidentally putting, you know, Jeffrey Goldberg on the text chain talking about it. And they're not, you know, having screaming matches behind the scenes, you know, that hurt the effectiveness of the mission. And that's a point in his favor for sure.
Yeah. So I don't know. It seems that there's a discrepancy here in just how successful the mission was with the intelligence reports. They don't seem to, at this point anyway, back up what the president said about the capabilities being obliterated. So when do you think we're going to have a better idea of what actually happened and just how successful it was?
Well, and this is the tough thing about all of this, right, is there's never easy answers to this kind of question because of the fact that what we're doing is we're flying a bunch of planes over there, we're dropping the bombs, we're flying home, and then we have to go right back to relying on, you know, satellite surveillance and you know, human sources on the ground in terms of gathering up intelligence and things like this. So these sorts of questions are always tricky. It's part of the reason why, you know, previous actions of this. It's part of the reason why you put boots on the ground in Iraq 20 years ago, because, you know, strikes alone, it's hard to know whether you got everything you were looking to get. And there's a million other, you know, difficult questions like that. The other problem is that there has now been this kind of dry question, this kind of nuts and bolts question of how do we get the intelligence? How do we assess the intelligence? How do we make the best judgment call? How does the intelligence community make the best judgment calls of how to you know, parse that raw intelligence? And that has all now been kind of swallowed into this broader political conflict because, you know, there was that one very preliminary, very kind of low certainty report that got leaked, which, you know, newsrooms obviously wrote up because it was an internal Trump administration intelligence report, which was going contrary to the sort of public triumphalism that we were hearing from the White House that they were saying they knew that the facilities had been obliterated and Iran's nuclear program had been bombed back to the Stone Age and all of this stuff. And well, maybe not. It's hard to say. But now, you know, and Pete Hegseth talked about this a little bit this morning. He got some questions of, well, okay, a couple days ago, you guys were all saying it was far too early to give kind of an intelligence assessment. Now you're all rushing out in the wake of this reporting to say, well, here's a bunch of other intelligence assessments we have that say it was actually great and say it actually did accomplish its mission. And it's just hard to parse all that because obviously there's a lot of pressure for the administration to get behind the president's narrative on this stuff. But, you know, that's not to say that the first report was absolutely correct either. So there's a lot of fog of war, a lot of new kind of like political angles mm-hmm. pushed into all of this. And the bottom line is it's too early to say now, and hopefully it won't be too early to say later.
Yeah, I think it's the fog of war. Also, it's so politicized. It really is. You talked about the intel of whether it was obliterated or not obliterated. I've seen some of the same sources, more of like the talking heads or media or whatever, at one point saying, well, Iran doesn't even have nuclear capabilities. They don't have these facilities. They're not even close. And then once Trump said they were obliterated, they said, no, they're totally intact. They're still fine. And I feel like it's hard to find the truth in this charged of an atmosphere.
Yeah. And again, it's also just a really complicated question, right? I mean, like the question is like the underlying question, overarching question is simple. Like, does Iran have the capability of putting together a nuclear weapon sometime soon? But the number of kind of like smaller intermediary steps there are legion, right? I mean, like what we were hoping to do, what the U.S. was hoping to do with this strike in a perfect world would have been to damage these enrichment facilities kind of beyond the point of no return, where Iran would have to build new ones if it wanted to keep enriching uranium and keep, you know, building, you know, warhead capabilities and the missiles and all these facilities. And we wanted to hopefully get the enriched uranium that they already have. And it seems like, again, there's so much fog of war, but it seems like we did the first half of that, right? That at least some of the facilities were devastated in Fordo and in other places. But it also seems, again, in a very preliminary way, that maybe Iran was able to move the enriched uranium it already has offsite. It's not that hard to do. You just put it in a truck. You know, it's not like thousands and thousands of tons of uranium that they have on hand. It's, you know, relatively small payload in sort of concrete terms. So that could be anywhere, right? And that's, again, the kind of hard thing to assess, you know, just from like satellite imaging and all this sort of thing. So when you put those kind of complicated questions up against this sort of narrative that's coming out of the White House, no, we got it all, we're done, we did great, it's over, and anybody who says otherwise hates America and hates the troops, it gets kind of hard to sort of parse these things out. And not that it wouldn't be otherwise. Again, there's a lot of fog of war here.
Andrew Egger from The Bulwark, White House correspondent. We appreciate you jumping in with us today. And just know that you are now on call. So that's what all this money is getting us. We're getting you on call for the price of nothing. So thank you.
This is what you do. This is what you do. You trade in perks, right? You trade on my hometown pride. You get me in there. It works. Hit me up anytime.
We'll get you some Cardinals tickets.
How about that? We'll hook you up with some sweet Cardinals tickets the next time you're in town.
Now, not Cardinals tickets in a suite. I mean, come on. We're not going to go that far.
We can't get him the Champions Club? I think we can get you Champions Club.
We'll see what we can do, Andrew.
We'll see what we can do.
All right. Thanks, guys. I appreciate
it. You have to come visit.
Thank you, Andrew.